This meeting is now being recorded.
Oops. There we go. Thanks for starting up. We have a ton of slides, and I just want everyone to know, no, we're not going to work through 40 slides today. I just wanted to give folks a head up of what lays in the future. I see Anna's here. Anna and I, since our last meeting, have interviewed, generally together, 11 folks, board staff members, folks who have been involved in CEP from the community. Because if you recall, we were having major problems getting any data. CEP records are confidential. We could find out who's been in them, but we couldn't find out what's been going on. So since it's been a while, what I thought we could do is go over what exactly we're supposed to be doing here at FIRST, take a look at some of the bylaws. If you can move on to the agenda page, everyone should have scrolling available. So if you go to the second page of the slides, it's the agenda. So I believe everyone here has their SOI updated. If not, please do so. We do have regrets, if staff could know, from Patrick Lenihan, who had a health emergency, and he cannot be here. In any event, what I want to do today initially is go over the timeline, then talk about the bylaws, remind everybody of what the CEP's role is in the accountability structure, take a look at the mandate we have from Workstream 1, talk about what we've done previously here, and then hopefully start getting into some of the substance. So I hope when we get to that point, since we are a small group, we can get participation from pretty much everyone. So for this meeting to be fruitful. So moving on to the next slide. There are two options for subgroups now in terms of how to actually meet the deadlines and get all this done in fiscal year 18. You look at the top timeline, that's a timeline for one public comment. Bottom timeline to have two public comments. To have two public comments would have to be complete with our report by the Johannesburg meeting. That obviously is not going to happen. So we'll be trying to produce our subgroup drafts by the October Abu Dhabi meeting, and I hope a lot sooner than that. You can expect pretty much weekly meetings past Johannesburg, I believe, in order to get this done. I should note our next meeting will be next week, same place, same time. Tell your friends, new members, obviously most welcome. Moving on to the next slide, I want to remind everybody where we are, what the CEP's role is in the new bylaws. We're actually under the IRP process. And just a quick review, if you look at 4.3EI, the purpose of the CEP is to try to resolve or narrow the disputes. It shall be conducted pursuant to the CEP rules to develop with community involvement, et cetera, et cetera. That's our charge, one of them. Move on to the next slide. That's the economic incentive for folks to participate in the CEP. If you participate, if you don't decide not to participate and you lose, the IRP panel may award ICON costs. So that's why a lot of folks, when we get to the interview, a lot of folks, even those that don't really want to participate in the CEP, they do so because of the economic value. Next slide. And this is a bit new. The CEP to date, until the new bylaws, did not include a provision for mediator. We now have that. Two clauses. First, you can terminate the CEP if one of the parties requests the inclusion of a mediator. And then we talk about where the mediators come from, which is from the standing panel among those panelists who will not be selected for the IRP. So that's where the bylaws justification for the CEP comes. Next, so again, to review the bylaw concepts, there's a cost incentive to encourage participation. There's a mediation provision. But one thing I want to note, when we get to the interviews, there are a lot of folks that actually didn't believe that using the standing panel would be a good idea. We'll have to talk about that. And then we have the CEP rules, which are to be developed by the community. Next. What are we supposed to do in our subgroup? Well, we've been charged with the following. The process must be governed by clearly understood and pre-published rules applicable to both parties and be subject to strict time limits. In particular, the CCWG accountability will review the CEP as part of Workstream 2. So when you put those two together, you come up to the next slide, which is what our charge is. We need to review the CEP, and we need to develop the initial set of CEP rules. Now, what have we done in the past, in our past three meetings, and when we went to the plenary. And the suggestion from them is we might want to pursue some sort of structured negotiation within the context of the CEP, something not as formal as a mediation or arbitration, because after all, we're sort of a prelude to that. However, something more formal than what we have now, which is basically the folks just go into a room, lock the doors, and what happens, happens. We were also told, and Alan came up with this idea, that we should review past CEP decisions, processes, and procedures. Unfortunately, that's not really possible on a formal basis because everything is confidential and opaque. So what we decided to do, talking to staff, myself, and Anna Loop is here. Anna has been an essential part of everything we've done here, is we decided to reach out to the community, ask for those who have been involved in the CEP to sit down with Anna and myself, talk about the process and procedure. We reached out to board members who showed an interest in the CEP, and we reached out to Icon Legal, who has been the Icon party in every CEP to date. And we conducted a bunch of interviews. And that gives us data to work with. So if you move to the next slide, what I'm going to propose, I want to get some feedback once I finish with this proposal, is that we now develop what I'm calling CEP principles. They're guidance for the CEP rules, not the specific legal rules themselves. Conceptual, it could be the final output of this group, or it could be the preliminary work for actually devising the rules themselves. So how do folks feel about that as a way forward? Anna, thank you.
Certainly, multiple devices here. This just may be because I'm a little bit tired. Could you just clarify a little bit when you say guidance for CEP rules, sort of what you're envisioning there? Sort of as a stepping stone, just to clarify a bit. Sorry, that may just be me being a little bit tired. Thanks.
No, it's not. It's me being not exact enough. In other words, instead of coming up with the rules themselves initially and say, all right, clause A, clause B, the actual legal language that we can say, this is the final document, this is what you use, we come up with, let me give you an example, I think it might be easier this way. We decide that we want to have certain deadlines. We put that in the principles, but we don't go so far as to actually write the legal document itself, at least initially, because once you start getting involved in the minutiae of legal language, it would tie us down to the point we may not get this done in time. Yeah, actually, Bernie, is that your hand up?
Sorry, I'll come off mute. That'll go better. This could be germane to this discussion. We've been, meaning staff, been talking with the co-chairs about various components to ensure we get done by the end of fiscal year 2018. Which is the end of June 2018. It does look pretty good that we will get the extension. All the chartering organizations, except for the CCNSO, have supported the extension. The CCNSO will do so, I believe, in Johannesburg. We've been in contact with them, and they have no objection. It's just a question of timing. So we're hoping we're going to get that for 2018. Plenary has published a proposal for how we're going to wrap this up, and that's gone through a first reading, and it's currently in the mail list for the plenary to get a second reading done, since we didn't believe it was worth calling everyone in for a meeting tomorrow just for that. One other point we have been talking about is something very close to what you're talking about here, in that you know, we've noticed that some groups are trying to take this to a level of detail that is absolutely, you know, infinite. That's not going to work. It's not going to work for a lot of reasons. It's not going to work because ICANN is responsible for the implementation, and if you've created something that is so tight that they've got no room, they're going to be concerned about approving this because they're going to be stuck with implementing something which they may have concerns with. I have to commend ICANN have been very good at responding to public comments on things and really being clear about exactly that issue. Second, we've noticed in some groups that they go into details or implementation before really getting their concepts very clear. And so we've been working with them to bring them back. So all of this to say, just getting the concepts cleared away, agreed by everyone, and being very clear is a great job. Let's focus on that. I think you would do well with that. And if we've got time, let's go on and take it one more level. But this seems very consistent with what has been discussed in other areas. And I was just providing this as background as we're getting this started again. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Bernie. I see Anna has her hand up. Anna?
Yeah, thanks, Ed. This is an analyst for the record, and I completely agree with what Bernard said. Completely agree. Just sort of having a basic sort of set. I also think that it would be good to maybe find a way to sort of garner a little bit more participation in this group if we have something very sort of basic, sort of not this hard and fast, legal, sort of wording as well as sort of implementation guidelines, like very basic, then this may be a way for us to get more people involved. More input, because I think what will happen if we do have a very finalized version, we'll get a lot of critiques at the very end from something we can't really change. So this may, provide a little bit of flexibility, which is something I guess we'll talk about later on, that a lot of people talked about, right, the idea of having flexibility in CEP guidelines and principles.
Thanks, Anna. Fantastic. Bernie, your hand is still up. May I ask, In your response, Bernie, do you have any suggestions for how we can up participation in this group? Thanks.
Goes better if I come off mute. Actually, that's exactly why I put my hand back up. Listen, guys, a few of us have been beating up on these kinds of things for a really long time, like Cheryl. Really, I think with the approach you're taking right now, Ed, that's a great first step. The moment you start putting down a draft, and I'm going to take it back one step from what Anna said. You publish it for public comment, and you're going to get all sorts of comments, and yes, it's encouraging. It's a lot more practical to have more people up front with it. And I think there's a lot of ways we can do that. But one fairly consistent thing is that up until now, people were excited about the other subjects. Some of the other subjects are starting to wrap up, and that's fine. But what drives participation uniformly across all these things is you put down a position. I'm not talking about putting it down in great detail. I'm not talking about putting something down for public consultation. But you put down sort of a vision paper or one or two pager about, I think this is where we're going to go. Then all of a sudden it gets real for people. And you will start seeing your group coming back to you. And I think even more so because people would be, interested in debating a point. The problem is in a lot of these things is too many people participate in too many things, and they don't want to invest the time to come up with a solution. They don't mind talking about solutions and arguing about things they don't think will work and providing logic for that, but they just either don't have the time or the energy, and most of these people have day jobs, let's remember. So that's the problem. So I can only encourage you to not worry about that at this point and just really keep going at it. And if we can come up with a two-pager, and I'll be bold here, if we can come up with a two-pager 1 week before Johannesburg that sort of describes the vision about where we think we want to take this, I think it would be great to put it in the plenary, and we can talk about it in Joburg for an hour. And I think that will stimulate a lot of interest for when we get back from ICANN 59. Thank you. I hope that's helpful.
It's very helpful, Bernie, and that's actually where I was headed. If we could go to the next slide. If there's no objection, what I'd like to try to do this week and next week, by the end of next week, to make it through the slides we have here and come up with some basic ideas. We call them the CEP principles. And you notice I have, what's that, 7 different areas where in the interviews we had folks commenting, and that fit into our mandate and basically would form the bulk of the CEP rules. So what I suggest we do, as few as we are, we go through the interview responses, we go through each of these areas, try to come up with ideas as to where we're headed, and then those of us who want to will create that 1 or 2 page document and present it at the plenary as a way of bringing folks in to get even more involved in these issues. Thoughts? Anna, thank you.
This is Anna Lutz for the record. I'd be happy to code the interview notes that we have. I know I've gone through them and I sort of sent them to you. But now that I'm actually have a house and I'm living in D.C. now, I have a little bit more time. So okay. I'm happy to code the sort of interviews so we can get main themes, if that would help us really, you know, have a concrete position that really draws from the interviews that we can then, if people, you know, if we do present it at the plenary and they say, you know, where did you get this, that we can go back and very, you know, very specifically point out and say, well, in this interview, you know, in 4 interviews, they use the same terminology, or, you know what I mean? So we really have concrete evidence that's supporting our position, and not just, it doesn't come off as, you know, we came up with this idea vaguely from these interviews. So it's really based in the interviews. I can help with that.
Thanks. And numbers are great, but we also, looking at the timeline, we have 2 meetings. We do have to come up with some positions as well. So a combination of trying to talk through these things with the numbers, I think, would be the best approach. What do you think? Because if we wait for the numbers to come in, we have, a half hour today, an hour next week. We have basically 90 to 100 minutes to go through these areas and come up with concrete positions. And our take does not have to be what we get from the interviews. That's more to stimulate discussion, in that the interviews themselves weren't done scientifically. We didn't get a cohort, a representative cohort, et cetera, as you well know.
Yeah, this is a person who loves methods. Yeah, we didn't quite get there. But I think having a good balance, of course. I was just thinking as a way, you know, if during the plenary it does come up that, you know, we can really point to the evidence. Yeah. I'm totally for a balance.
And I think if people see that we're doing my take from talking to other members of the community is there's some frustration in some of the larger groups with, you know, things going around in circles with arguments. If we can actually show a little bit of data that we're doing this in a structured, positive manner, I think we're going to get, we don't need 400 people, but 4 more would be nice. I think we can pick them up. At least I hope so. So why don't we keep going down this path? Given I have all these pretty slides, why don't we keep going down the path and see what we can come up with and go from here. So now I'm on the next slide, which is an interview, which explains what we did. There were 11 interviews conducted by myself and Anna. Anna unfortunately wasn't there for 2 of them due to conflicts, But, you know, shoot, thank God you were there, because there's no way I could have done this without your help. We did 9 of the interviews in Copenhagen, 2 post-Copenhagen. We interviewed 7 community members who responded to our call on the plenary for volunteers, for those who had been involved in CEPs, and 4 board staff members that had knowledge of and responsibility or interest in the CEP. So I think the broad consensus, the next slide, no one that we interviewed would throw the bomb at the CEP. Everyone thought it had some value, although if we went in a certain direction, that maybe they would prefer not to have it. If, for example, we got too formal was one response, too many rules. But there was, I think, a general broad consensus that the CEP does or could have some value. And second, something, and Anna can correct me if I'm wrong, something that came through with virtually everybody we spoke to was that whatever we do here, we need to have flexibility. One size does not fit all. Each case is unique. So the last thing both community members and staff board members wanted us to do is come up with a solution, a reform of the CEP that would be highly structured, highly rule-based. And since Anna was there for the interviews, did you get that take from the folks we talked to as well?
Yeah, I got that as well. I think it was one of those things where they didn't, you know, sometimes they hadn't thought about, you know, the idea of flexibility, but it was, you know, they were very loosely structured interviews, that they sort of came to the realization a lot, you know, themselves, a lot of them, that, you know, actually, I would prefer flexibility. You know, this was a running theme if it was, you know, at the very beginning stated, you know, I want a flexible, a flexible structure, or it was a natural progression in the, you know, in the conversation that we had with them, which was very interesting, I thought.
Very much so. I'm reading the chat. Bernie has noted we could stretch the next call to 90 minutes if useful. And Cheryl's mentioning it might be good not to have it in the middle of her night, which we're scheduled in a week at 1 o'clock, which would be, yeah, and we don't have much flexibility in scheduling the next call. Yeah, how do folks feel? We'll get to that towards the end and see where we go, because the next bit, 11 p.m. for Cheryl. Cheryl, what is the best time? You know, we have the 3 times, the 0500, the 1300, and the 1900. What are the best times for you? Yeah, me too. I think that's true for Europeans, North Americans, and those in your neck of the woods. Unfortunately, the 1900s were gone. But what I will do with Bernie's help is I'll grab a few of those slots post Johannesburg. At least I'll try to. Next week, it's the same, as Bernie said, same bat time, same bat channel, unfortunately. All right, so if we can at least go ahead, try to get into the substance a little bit, try to start working on details that hopefully can excite some other folks. We go on to the next section, which we have up here, which is it's still a little bit more less specific than some at the end. It's the purpose of the CEP. Okay, thanks, Bernie. Bernie will work with me and Cheryl in scheduling in the future. So the reason I made this as part of the principles is I noticed that what some of our interview responsees thought the purpose of the CEP was and the purposes stated in the bylaws were two disparate things. Now, of course, we do have the ability to change the CEP reference in the bylaws, although I think the tri-chairs they wouldn't be that happy. I wouldn't be their favorite person, and I think we'd like to avoid that if we could. So what I'm going to do, if folks are willing to do this, I'm going to shut up for about a minute and a half. And if you could scroll down to Purpose of the CEP, there are 2 slides there where I took the responses from our notes of anything to do with the CEP's purpose. If you could just read through those to get an idea of what the interviewees were talking about in this area, and then we can try to discuss their response, the bylaws response, and then I have an idea going forward here. So say 2 minutes max, if you could just take a look at the responses. Thank you. I should note that on the interview responses, SB means the respondent that made that comment was a staff board member, and C is a member of the community. Okay, it says here, I hope folks that have had enough time to take a look at the comments. If you go in the next slide, I basically restate what the bylaw says we're supposed to be doing with the CEP. That is, the purpose of the CEP is to resolve or narrow the dispute. So when I take a look at outwardly some of the problems and some of the perceptions of folks, I basically came down with three different categories. One is that we have to recognize that the CEP is not an independent process, that it needs to feed into the IRP, and we need to make sure that link is solid. Second, that some people, particularly those in the community, are concerned that we lack standards, we lack definitiveness in rules, and that's to juxtapose with what we previously talked about, the majority comment that we received that we need to keep this flexible. So I wonder if we could talk a little bit about the purpose of the CEP, whether it is to resolve narrative dispute, but also in the context in trying to achieve those goals, what do we need to consider in creating the so-called CEP rules so it does recognize the fact it's not an independent accountability structure. And what type of standards do we need to build in? And let's see if anybody would like to speak to that. Okay, I'll give it a shot. It is, I think, one of the dangers when we start getting into the substantive issues are folks started to comment as if the CEP were sort of this thing out there on its own. And there is concern, particularly among staff, that we have to recognize that it is a subset of the IRP. Without the IRP, there is no CEP, and perhaps we don't want to encourage the use of the CEP in the absence of an intent to go forward with an IRP. Or do we? That's one thing I'll throw up for discussion. In the second issue, I think, in terms of the lack of standards and the new rules and the rules that are needed, I think we'll be able to get into that, into the substantive areas. Any general comments? Anna, thank you.
Sorry, I have to unmute my phone. This is Anna Loop for the record. Something I was thinking about when I was reading over these is that is sort of framing and how we're framing it, because I think that there are two different frames that we're looking at here. One is sort of as a cost issue. Right, so it's resolve or narrow the dispute, and then an access issue, And then also, yeah, this idea of should it be connected sort of intrinsically to the IRP? This may be premature. I'm realizing that I may have jumped the gun here. But just sort of looking at that there are sort of two different frames that people are approaching the purpose of the CEP as. And it's not split, you know, for community and then staff board. It's a sort of mix on both sides, but you're seeing one sort of side looking very much at the framing of it as a cost issue and one as an access issue as a precursor to the IRP, right? So is this a way to get more people access, or is this a way to lower costs? And I think that's something to take into consideration. We're talking about the purpose of the CEP is however we state it, we're going to be creating a specific frame, right? And so there are two sides that we should take into consideration. That may have been off topic.
So that would be the two issues, are cost versus access. I guess the question I would throw out to you, since you've thought about this, should people do you have a separate application for CEP? How do people enter here? You know, right now they just say, hey, we're thinking about an IRP, but we want to do a CEP. Is that the frame we want to put this in? I guess one of the concerns that some of the staff has raised is they're concerned that folks will start using the CEP in place of reconsideration. And do we want that? Is there a way to stop that if we don't?
This is analysts for the record. I'll put my hand up. But, yeah, this is something that I saw that when we were speaking with people about that, yeah, it was – they didn't – it's very difficult to know what people are using the CEP for because it is confidential. So it can be used for a variety of different, you know, ways. You know, it could be, you know, being used. So yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea for us to sort of say you can only use the CEP for these reasons because, you know, enforcement would then be difficult. There's this idea of flexibility. So I think the main thing we should focus on is tying it to the IRP, right? Should the CEP be a gatekeeper for the IRP? And that's something I would be open to discussing a bit more just because my background isn't in law. So anyone else on the call, I'd be happy to hear from them.
Okay, I'm looking for hands. I'll respond if there are none. Yeah, I actually like the gatekeeper terminology. One of the things we need to keep in mind, or I think we should keep in mind when we're trying to construct this at this point, is that the IRP that we're going to be faced with in coming years is a vastly different animal than the one we've had in the past. The entry cost to an IRP in the past ranged from several hundred thousand to low millions. That's no longer the case. I can't pick enough the cost. You still have to pick, in most cases, you still have to pick up your own legal fees. But ICANN is paying for the structure. And so some folks during the discussions mentioned that they're a little bit concerned that by lowering the entry cost, ICANN may at some point be inundated with IRP. So one of the functions of the CEP should be as a gatekeeper to try to at least resolve some of those cases, some of those issues that could be resolved without having to spend the money on an IRP. So I guess going forward to get us out of this area here, I'd suggest that in the document, I guess our goal right now is to produce a document for the Jayberg session, plenary session. I guess what we want to do is restate the purpose and the bylaws. Note that it is a gatekeeper to the IRP. And then also note, as Anna pointed out, that there sort of is this duality between access and cost, and then leave it at that level going forward for the post-Johannesburg efforts. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, I got a yes from Anna in the chat. I see. Olivia, you're welcome. Herb, anybody else would like to comment on the purpose of the CEP or anything we should think about in this area before we move on? Not hearing any dissent or agreement, I'll take that as assent, and we can move on to the next section, which is commencement of action, variations in structure. And I got to give credit. The first person we interviewed came up with an idea that I think took hold with a lot of our respondents. So this would be a very different variation of a CEP. So I'm very interested in getting reaction in this section. First of all, when you commence, is it an independent filing? I think this actually fits with the what we just talked about. Is it independent filing, or do you file for an IRP at the same time? When we go into the interviews comments, they didn't really talk much about this. I'm going to let folks know. If you can move on, again, we'll give you 2 minutes. Move on to interviews 1, 2 of commencement of action, variations in structure, and then we can talk about the responses and what we might want to propose and go forward with. Thanks. 2 minutes. Okay, I'm back. I hope folks have had a chance to look at the responses. So I'll just introduce what I get from this and see if folks want to chime in. Two sections. One is on what we're starting to call the small claims version of the CEP, but let me deal with the other issues first. I think there's a concern in the community at the number of people in the room. There's been the conception that you enter a CEP, you come in as a sole claimant, and you're faced with the ICOM legal team. You go in there, and John is there, Amy is there, on occasion Sam is there as well. And some folks felt outnumbered and outclassed in some ways. And so there's a call that perhaps you want to limit the number of people in the room. And secondly is the economic incentive to participate in the CEP. On the one hand, we're trying to encourage participation, but we did get a response I thought was interesting that it would work better if the people were there because they actually wanted to be there, not because there was this economic incentive. Is there any comment on either of those two issues? Okay, seeing none, I will note that in the section in the document that we will prepare for the plenary. Now, on to the other issue, and I hope
Ed? Sorry, this is Annalise.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
no worries. I just put it up. I actually had a few questions. Yeah, you talked about number of people in the room, economic incentive. I think also you'll probably get to this when you're going to move on, the idea of lawyers, sort of the legal focus and framework that I'm not as familiar with, so I will sort of table that. But this is, you know, I was thinking, like, these are very sort of specific issues that may we may want to raise as questions in the two-pager instead of putting mm-hmm. as a statement. So, you know, it'd be something like the presence of lawyers, the number of people in the room, you know, small, maybe re-saying small claims in a way that's less legal, because that seems very formal. Location, right? The idea of, you know, would it be over the phone? Would it be in person? Economic incentives. Sort of raise these as a question instead of, you know, stating, you know, we believe that there should be, you know, an equal number of representatives from each party as well as ICANN staff in the room or something like that.
No,
that, so raising the question.
That's actually where I was headed. That's I should have known.
Oh,
yeah, I mean,
read my mind.
I think we can't ignore the fact there are so few people here, and so I think what we the best we can do at this point is try to go through these comments, try to raise the questions, and give folks an idea of what some of the ideas that are presented are, and hopefully we can entice some folks to come in here and help out. I think that's got to be where we're headed with this group right now. Because right now we have a two-person conversation with a few folks that are trying to help out best they can, but are involved in so many aspects of ICANN, you know, it's a bit difficult for them to get too involved here. So I think that's a great idea, and I think that should be our objective when we're done here. The other issue is you mentioned the small claims, which again, this is a more radical concept because it does change the nature of the CEP. And what it would be is this. If you have a best illustrated by an example, let's say you have a beef or a problem or you think there's something wrong with what the folks in GDD are doing. Instead of going into a room with your lawyers and ICANN's lawyers, in the small claims provision, no lawyers involved. Basically, the parties, GDD staff, the claimant, provided the claimant's not an attorney, you get in the room with the third-party mediator, and you try to work out your differences. I've come to like the idea. I think there was general support. There were some comments that, gee whiz, IRPs are fairly sophisticated. The lawyers will always want to be involved. But I'm not sure if that recognizes the fact we don't know what the IRP is going to be like in the future. Maybe a different kettle of fish. I don't know. Any comments on that or whether that's something we should pursue? We certainly will ask that as a question and make that some people have proposed. But any thoughts on it initially at this stage? Okay, I will note that as a proposal of some and we'll put that in question form. Going forward, neutral third party. This is an issue that raised a lot of emotions among some of our respondents. There were people that believe that the CEP is a disgrace because you have private parties going behind closed doors, no transcripts, no notice on issues that could affect other parties. There are those who believe that if you give a third party the right to intervene or participate, you destroy the CEP itself. So, again, I'm going to give folks 2 minutes to take a look at the two slides, which are the responses of the interviewees to this issue. Okay, before proceeding here, I do want to note that Cheryl has written in chat, I am initially attracted to the small claims concept, but need more contemplation on that. I think we all do, but same here. I hear of it. I think it's good. But honestly, the negative responses we got were from lawyers, which is probably predictable, that wouldn't want their clients to go into a room. So I think if we do it, we make it optional. But again, that's a question we can pose to the plenary. Okay, third parties. I think it's almost like a decision tree. Should they be allowed in as a matter of right? I think, and that is a question we can pose in our document. Or should they be allowed in if both parties want them to be in, feel they have something substantive to offer? I think those are, I don't recall anybody saying definitely no third parties under any circumstances. So any comments on those issues? Again, should we pose that as a question to the plenary? These are the positions. No third party as a matter of right, third party. Although, again, there are those who believe that third parties should be able to come in if the topic impacted them. There's also the consideration and concern that we get from multiple parties that if the issue at dispute involves a policy that came out of a PDP, say, for the GNSO, that the GNSO should be invited in the room. So any concept or any comments on these issues? Bernie, I see your hand is raised.
Thank you, Ed. I'm going to take a step back from this and talk a bit about the work that's going on in the IoT. As you've mentioned, it's going to be a very different creature than what it was in the past, and that's the mandate we're working on. We were a little surprised by some of the comments. We did not get a lot of comments to our public consultation on the first set of rules, about 15, I guess. But they were excellent comments. They were thoughtful for the most part. They were presented well. Some of the areas seem to be relevant to here. Huge discussion on allowing third parties. And in that discussion, the cost and the time involved in doing that certainly came up for discussion. And what I'm thinking to a certain extent of what you maybe want to consider in the context of the work you're doing here is although the IRP will be a different creature than what has been in the past, and maybe the cost will be substantially less, it will still be a non-negligible cost. Also, it's going to take a while to actually walk your way through this thing. So one of the considerations is, if you look at it from a time cost point of view on a graph, you've got reconsideration way on the bottom left corner because it'll probably come up fairly quickly and it'll cost no one anything to do it. And then more towards the top right hand corner of time and cost, you've got the IRP. So maybe one of the things you want to consider in this context is trying to locate yourself. I'm sorry, I'm a mathematician, so I keep thinking in graphs. You want to consider putting yourself in between those two points and probably closer to the initial one of reconsideration, where you could produce something that is quick and less costly. Now, the flip side to that is you want to ensure that you create a process that doesn't get deluged by people finding gum on the floor and wanting to ask for CEP or something like that. So framing it properly is going to be critical. But anyways, just a thought relative to the IoT, and I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. It is, and I think it goes back to what Anna had mentioned earlier about the CEP being a gatekeeper, that it would be my hope. I'm a little bit nervous about the lowered cost of entry for the IRP, because what I've noticed in this community is once somebody starts using an accountability mechanism, the floodgates open. Way back about 3 or 4 years ago, I was involved in a reconsideration. And there'd only been 2 reconsiderations in the previous year and a half. After we did ours, and it was trademark 50, and we got publicity for it, the floodgates opened, and you're getting 30, 40 a year now. And so we don't know what the IRP is going to be, but my fear is that folks may start using it for less than monetarily significant reasons. Yet ICANN is going to be required to staff it, pay for the standing panels, et cetera. So it would be my hope that what the CEP could do is take the low-hanging fruit and resolve the issues at that level. I think that is a goal. But don't forget that as an entree point to an IRP, that connection, and again, we have to talk about subject matter jurisdiction, in that the CEP should not be getting involved in issues that would not lead to an IRP, and IRPs themselves are very much restricted to contravention, to bylaws, et cetera. So I think we are not sort of an independent, the CEP by we, is not an independent mechanism, but I do think that as you mentioned, it can be used as a lower cost mechanism to perhaps resolve issues before they start costing a ton of money. Okay, it is 4 before the hour. So what I'm going to suggest is I put together a fairly comprehensive slide deck where I try to put the various interviewees' comments into certain sections. I'd like to ask folks over the next week if you could take a look at it, so I won't be taking the 2 minutes to read. And maybe we can just get into trying to create a document for the plenary, as has been suggested, which poses questions and introduces the topics that we're talking about in the CEP as a means of trying to stimulate discussion in the wider CCWG and bring some more folks in to help us do the work. I will, over the next few days, summarize what we did today in the questions that we came up with in the first 3 subject areas. So if that... any comments on that approach? Seeing none, I want to thank everyone for your participation today. I apologize. I'm getting used to sharing groups with 1 or 2 participants. It is a challenge. I'll do better next time, I'm sure. But thanks for being here, and we'll see you all next week, same time, same place.
Ed, before we all go, Ed.
Thanks, Bernie.
Do we want a 90-minute call on the next call or not?
Yeah, why don't we do that? If we don't need it, we can check it, but I'd like to make sure we have the information we need to do the document, because we're not going to be meeting before Johannesburg.
That's what I thought. So that's a go for a 90-minute call next week. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bernie. Thanks, everybody.